All right, they'll say good morning. So today's daf is Lamed Beis Resta Freilich and Shush and Purim to everyone. You know, Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha said that if you want to see if your Purim was truly holy or not, he said the only way to gauge the holiness of your Purim is what do you do the morning after. What do you do the morning after, right? If I'm a mess and I can't do anything, I can't learn, I can't that, okay, then maybe it wasn't such a helik Purim. Baruch Hashem, if it was good, so I give you all the yashar koach for clearly having a beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful Purim. And in Meretz Hashem, now we're going to celebrate Shushan Purim together by starting with a little Gemara. So today's daf is Lamed Beis. We're going to pick up on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We have a lot to do today, actually, I just realized. Okay. So we're up to Rav Acha. Rav Acha. So Rav Acha Masni Hachi. So Acha is the first word on the line. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 12. Wow, 20 lines up. What did we do yesterday? All right, so okay. I'm sorry. Slaving a log. So the rest of the fire. Ravacha Masniyachi. So Ravasna supported the version that we had in yesterday's daf. Ravina taught a little bit differently. But also remember, still trying to figure out the case of taking the wallet, how you're taking the wallet from, let's say I'm stealing the wallet from Reuven. So we have two issues happening over here. So we have an issue, the Gemara is talking about an issue of Gneva, an issue of theft, and an issue of Chil Shabbos. The difficulty is that both of those violations kind of occur under different circumstances. In order to be in violation of Gneva, I have to go ahead and move it from one Rishus to the next, from let's say the Reuven's Rishus to my Rishus. In order to violate Shabbos, I have to move it from one Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara is trying to figure out all these different cases, in all these different variations in which I can go ahead and violate both. So Ravina said the following, the Olam Da'afki Rishus HaRabim, in reality the case over here is where you took the wallet out to Rishus HaRabim, Ubershus HaRabim Namikana, and Rishus HaRabim, you could also be Kona, meaning because Ravina is saying that you could even go ahead and be Kona the stolen item in a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, V'tarvayum b'diyuka d'hamas nisa kamiflagi. And both Ravacha and Ravina are making a diuk from the following Mishnah. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hayamoshcho v'yotza. So we'll say this is by a regular case of Mishicha. I'm pulling an animal in order to go ahead and acquire it. Now, actually, this is talking about I'm stealing an animal. I'm stealing an animal, and I'm standing in the rishus of the owner, and I want to go ahead and steal the animal. So what happens? If I was pulling it, I was doing Mashiach HaViyotzei, Umeis Birshus Bailim, and the animal dies while still in Reuven's property, what's the halacha pater? The halacha is I'm pater. Why am I pater, Bosai? Because I haven't done anything. Because the act of Mashiach is meaningless unless I bring the animal into a different rishos. But if the animal dies while still in Reuven's rishos, I am potter. However, higbiu osho tzim rishos bailim umeis. But if I lifted up the animal, or I took it out from the rishos bailim and then it died, chayiv, then I am chayiv. Okay. Ravina amar. Ravina daik mireisha. Ravacha daik mseifa. So Ravina made his diuk from the first part of this Mishnah. Ravacha from the seifa. How so? Ravina daik mireisha. Ravina made a diuk from the first part of the Mishnah. Hayamoshcho v'yotzei umeis bishus bailim potter. If I was pulling the animal and I tried to pull it out of Reuven's rishus, but instead it ended up dying in Reuven's rishus, what's the halacha? I'm potter. Why? Time of the Meis Birshus Bailim. The reason I put there is because the animal died in the Rishus of Reuven. Ho, Tzio Mirishus Bailim, Meis Chayiv. But if I were to pull it out from the Rishus Bailim and it were to die, then what would be the halacha? The halacha would be that I'd be Chayiv. And therefore, I will say, what does that show me? That shows me that even Mashicha into any other Rishus other than the Rishus Bailim, even Rishus what? Even Rishus Harabim is enough to affect Mashicha. That's Shitas Ravina. Ravacha daik mi seifa. Ravacha made a diuk from the seifa. Higbiu o shehutsiu. Right, if I lifted up the animal or I took it out, so what can we infer from there? So literally taking it out is similar to lifting it up. How so? Mahagba da asi the rishu say, just like hagba only works if I take it into my rishus. If I take it into my rishus, so af hotza nami da'asil rishus, so to hotza only works if I take it into my rishus as well. Meaning it can't go into rishus rabim, it has to go into rishus ayachid. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. So that's fine. They each prove their deal from the respective parts of the Mishnah. But the Ravacha kashir resha, the Ravina kashir seifa. For Ravacha, the resha poses a question, and for Ravina, the seifa poses a question. Meaning, we're both saying that each one has a kasha from the other one's diuk. To which the Gemara answers, resha the Ravacha lo kasha, kama de lo asi the rishus say rishus bailim karina bay. So Ravacha will say, as long as it has not come into your rishus, that's called rishus bailim. Seifa the Ravina lo kasha. Similarly, again, the seifa for Ravina is not a question either. Why? Hotza dumi dagba lo aminon. We do not equate hotza with hagba. Fine. We'll say, just you should know the way we pass in halacha lemaisa is that meshicha does work. Meshicha does work ultimately to another rishus, to another even rishus rabim. So you don't have to go ahead. You don't have to go ahead and take it into your own rishus. You can even take it into rishus harabim. That's how we pass in halacha lemaisa. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Remember again, so the Mishnah spoke about the case, if a person violated, remember, this is going back to the first Mishnah in the Perek. So the first Mishnah in the Perek spoke about the laws of violation. So the Mishnah explained that if a man violates any of these women for whom he is chayiv kares, so he still has to pay the knas, he still has to pay the penalty payment. Because the Mishnah seems to be reflecting the view that we don't say kimle bidraba mine in a situation of karis. Kimle bidraba mine is only stated in a situation ultimately of misa bidi adam. Fine. So says the Gemara or minhu, raise the kasha, elu heina lokin, these are the people who get malchus. Habala choso, person has relations with his sister, va'alachos aviv, or his father's sister, va'alachos simo, his mother's sister, va'alachos ishto, his wife's sister, va'al eshes ochiv, his brother's wife, va'al eshes ochi aviv, or on his father's brother's wife, va'al anida, or roman is anida. And what's the halacha? The kaima, top of lamed beis, the kaimalon, de eno loke umishalin. And above, so we have a principle in halacha, that's what? You cannot get both Malkus and have to pay. You don't get Malkus and have to pay. The Rabbi said, take a look at Rashi. Actually, not yet. The Kaimon de Eno Loke, Umishalim. So Amu Ula, Lokasha. So we'll say Ula says, here's the issue over here. So the issue over here is that this Gemara, from this price that the Gemara just quoted, is that it sounds like, again, you're Chayef of Malkus. Now we know here's the issue. If you're Chayef of Malkus, then what? Remember, again, there's no double jeopardy. Is that the right usage of that? Yeah.
Yes. Crime.
Double jeopardy. Good.
Same crime twice.
Yeah, that's you can't be tried,
can't
for, the
be
same
tried
crime.
For the same crime.
Good. Like I said, double jeopardy. you understand what I mean. The idea is, dual liability, double liability. The idea is, so the Gemara says really like this. So we'll say, so from the Mishnah, here's what I know. From the Mishnah, I know that if I go ahead and I violate a woman, a woman who is prohibited to me through the pain of karis, so the Mishnah said that I have to pay the financial penalty for violating her. Here, this Braisa says that Lamaisa, I get Malkus. Now I'd say, maybe that's not a problem. Okay, maybe it means I get Malkus and I have to pay. There's only one problem, which is what? We have a principle that we don't do that. We don't give you Malkus and pay, ain't Elokim Mishalim, but rather, again, you get one. Now, from here, it sounds like the one that you're getting is Malkus. The problem is from our Mishnah, it sounds like the one that you're getting is what? Is money. You have to pay. So this is the Kasha. So the Amar Ula lo Kasha. Ula says it's not.
What? In
what
situation here would you have to pay?
You're not paying. That's when you're getting Malkus.
In what situation?
You violated her. You violated her. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula lo Kasha. Ula says it's not a contradiction. Kan ba'achoso na'ara. Kan ba'achoso bogeres. Oh, interesting. So that Mishnah is talking about when he violated his sister and she's a Nara, and therefore I also remember, when a girl is a Nara, she is subject to the Kenas. Kan ba'achos abogeres. But here, this price I quoted over is talking about his sister's abogeres, an adult, meaning after the age of 12 and a half. In which case, what? There is no knas for a violation. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, masnisa ba'achos o naro, di'ika knas, usfira le demamona mashalim velo loki, vahi demakas babogeres de'in lo knas. Okay, so that's a simple resolution. So the Gemara says, kan ba'achos abogeres. The Gemara says, achos abogeres nami ha'ika boshes upigam. But one second, bless you. Even in a case of where a man violates his sister, and she's a bogeres, she's an adult, so she's not subject to the laws of knas, to the penalty payments for violating. Well, so that's just a gzeres hakosov, that penalty payment only applies to a girl who's a nara. Remember again, we saw it's a machlokis if it applies to a kitana or not. But it for sure applies to a nara. But even if you don't say she has knas, there are other financial penalties or financial payments involved when you violate a woman. For example, even when she's an adult, there's boshes. Boshes means humiliation. Pagam. Pagam ultimately, again, means literally a diminution in worth, right? Because, again, in this case over here, Rashi says, boshes u pagam, tegabe knas, tahaba ina nara, ava boshes mono. So we'll leave that Rashi on the side for now. The point over here is that there are other financial payments, and yet, the price is just saying that she gets that the perpetrator gets malchus and doesn't pay. To which the Gemara says, Beshota. It's very interesting. He's talking about a case where he violated his sister, and she's a Shota. She's insane. Then I'm saying, now what's the chap over here that she's insane? So she's insane. Ultimately, therefore, she has no Boshas. The Gemara is suggesting over here that Boshas is a function of personal humiliation and pain. The Gemara is making the assumption that if the person is not mentally cognizant or competent, that at the end of the day, there is no Boshas and Pagam. I, Vaho Ikot Sara, but there's Sar. If you injure someone on both sides, there's also pain and suffering. There's pain and suffering. Now, meaning pain is as a result of the injury. So the Gemara says, Bimafuta. All because it doesn't have to be talking about a case of where he violated her. It could be a case of where he seduced her. So if he seduced her again, if he violated her, that's where there's tsar. If he seduced her, then there's no tsar. Hashta da asis lahachi, but now that you just said this, now you can even set up the same case as the Braisa talking about, the same case as the Mishnah, namely, where the sister is still a Nara. Aye, and what's the case? Be a Soma, Umifuta. And you can set it up as a case where she's an orphan and she was seduced. I will say, now what does that do? Let's work backwards. If she was seduced, that means there's no what? There's no what? There's no tsar. There's no payment for tsar. And Abba said, if she's a Yisoma, you see, when you violate a Nara, there are two forms of Boshes and Pagam. There's the Boshes and Pagam for her, and there's the Boshes and Pagam ultimately for her father. Because she is a Yisoma, there's no father in the picture over here. The Boshes and Pagam would be hers, and ultimately, again, the Boshes and Pagam would be hers, and because she's a Mafuta, then Lemaisa, there is no Tsar. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mafuta, the cave, Mafuta, the Inla Tsar, Kida, be Yisoma, Shekansa Uboshta Upegama Shala, Mafuta, Kevan Shakhal Shala, Inkan Chiv Mamon, Taha Avda Midaita. So I will say, because in this case, again, the Boshes and Pagam belong to her, and because it was Mafuta, therefore there's no Boshes, there's no Pagam, and there's no Tsar. So this would be a case then of where you could set up, but also just understand what we're trying to do. We're just trying to reconcile this Braisa with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you violate your sister, right, you have to pay the penalty payment. The Braisa here said that if you violate your sister, you get Malchus. Now the problem is we know you can't get both. You can't get two punishments, you only get one. So the Mishnah is trying to reconcile the two Braisas. So first attempt at reconciliation was to say that the Mishnah is talking about a Nara, that's why there's a penalty payment. This price is talking about a Bulgaris. Where she's an adult. The Gemara says, or second possibility is what? They're both talking about a Nara. But in the Mishnah, the Nara has a father, and therefore the Nara has a father. And in this case over here, we're talking about, again, a case of Mafuta Yisoma. She's a Yisoma, she's an orphan, and she's Mafuta. So because she is Mafuta, therefore, again, there's no penalty payment for violation because she wasn't violated, she was seduced. Furthermore, there's no tsar, and also because she was compliant, so to speak, then Lemaisa, again, there's no payment for Boshes Upegam as well. Therefore, there's no penalty payment at all, and therefore, what are you left with? You're left with Malkus. Alma kasavu ula. Kalecha diika mamona Malkus. Therefore, Ula says, whenever there's mamona Malkus, mamona mishalim milka lo lucky. So therefore, Ula says, whenever we go ahead and we have Mammon and Malkus, what do we see from here? Mammon and Mishalim, you have to pay the money. Milka lo lucky. So we'll say, now whenever I ascend, it generates these two obligations of money and Malkus, it appears that I pay the money, but I don't get the Malkus. Now we'll say, the reason he says that is because it's only in this very specific case of Mefuta Yisoma that you get Malkus. Every other case, what are you going to get? You're going to have to pay. So you see from here that when you've done something that generates an obligation for both Malkus and Mammon, that you pay the Mammon and you're exempt from the Malkus. So Manalei Le'ulaha, where does Ula know that from? The Rabbah say whenever there's a punishment, whenever there's an act that results in Mammon and Malkus, you only pay the Mammon and you're exempt from the Malkus. So the Gemara says, Ha gamar mechava bechavero. Ula learned that from the case of the person who injures his friend. Machova bechavero diika mamono malchus. Rabbah say, when you go ahead and you injure your friend, there's a dual liability. Now listen, I listen to this chap. So you get Malkus. Now Mammon, I understand, right? Because if I injure someone, there are damages I have to pay. We know those damages, five different types of damages. Why is there Malkus? So I'll say, generally you get Malkus when you go ahead and you violate a lav. Right? So what lav do you violate when you hit someone, when you injure someone? So we'll say, listen to this. It's so interesting. Look at Rashi Chovah Bechavera, Ika Malkus Delo Yosef. Delo Yosef. Rashi says like this. Do you know what the lav is? The lav is Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. That you're allowed to administer Malkus, not more than 39. What does that mean? The only time you're able to permit it to hit someone is in the context of Malkus and Beis Din. But you can't hit someone outside of the context of Malkus of Beis Din. So therefore, if you go ahead and you hit someone, your chovu bechavero, you're in violation of Arba'im Yakenu Velo Yosef. You're liable on adding on an extra lash. This was amazing. This is not a lash. So therefore, again, Ula learns out like this. Therefore, when I injure my friend, so there are two obligations that devolve upon me. There's a financial obligation for damages, but there's also Malkus. But yeah, what do we see? What happens? Mamona Mishalim Milk. So, but yet we know the halacha over there by Chovah Bechavero is you pay the money and you don't get Malkus. Therefore, Uli uses this as the paradigm that whenever you have an act that generates a liability for Mammon and Malkus, Mammon wins, Malkus is suspended. Af kolecha diika Mammon and Malkus, therefore, so to any case that generates an obligation or liability of Mammon and Malkus, Mammona Mishalim, you have to pay the money, Milka lo lucky. You do not have to go ahead. You do not get Malkus. To which the Gemara says, one second. So first of all, Chovah Bechavero is different because I will say there's a lot of unique halachas over here. For example, you're chayv in chamisha dvarim, right? You have to go ahead and pay five different types of damages. And maybe you'll say that Mammon is the kula. Ultimately, that Mammon is more kal than Malkus. Why? Because Malkus is permitted in Beis Din. Because we both say Beis Din has the right to flog someone. Therefore, maybe you can't learn out from this particular case. Meaning, maybe this case over here is not the paradigmatic case. So let's go ahead and let's learn out from Edim Zomim. We also remember Edim Zomim are witnesses who show up. Witnesses who show up give testimony that they saw Reuven kill Shimon. Witnesses show up and they say, you could not have possibly witnessed that. Imano Yisimiro with us. So what's the halacha? The halacha is Vasisem lo kasher zomim lasos la'achiv. Reciprocal punishment. We give to them that which they sought to administer to the person they're testifying against. So ma edim zomim di ikam mamon amalkus. And I both say, when you are an edim zomimin, so you can be chayiv twice. You either, I should say, there's two liabilities. Let's say, I both say, the case over here is they're showing up to testify that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And it turns out they're edim zomimin. So they went ahead and they testified in a way that would have made Reuven lose $1,000. Therefore, they have to pay $1,000. Not only that, but they've also violated a lav. What lav? Lo sa'ana bereyacha it shaker. Can't testify falsely. So therefore, there's Malkus for that. There's Malkus for that. And there's Mammon for the Mammon they try to go ahead and cause them. Yeah, we know that halacha is Mishalim. Mammon Mishalim. Milka lo lucky. But we know by Edim Zomim, they have to pay the money, but they don't get the Malkus. Af kol heicha de'ika mamona malchus, so too in every single situation where there is a liability for mamona malchus, mamona mishalim, you have to pay the money, milka lo lucky, but you are not obligated to go ahead and, but you do not get malchus. Okay. Mala idim zomim, but yet, mala idim zomim, shekein einan tzrichin hasra. But here's the problem. Idim Zomin also has its own interesting, unique chumra, which is what they're both saying. You don't need Hasra prior to being liable for being an Eid Zomin. V'ima mona l'kuluhu. And if you want to say that Mamon is a kula, that Mamon is more kala malchus, shekein lo asu maisa. Because we'll say at the end of the day, I'd say Idim Zomin is also unique. Why? Because at the end of the day, Idim Zomin did not actually do anything. They did not actually do anything, right? They just spoke. They just did deeper. They didn't commit an action. And yet what? They're going to be chayiv. Ella garmatah. So I'll say, so here's what we have. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. We have two different possibilities as to where we are learning out. Remember, Ula advanced a very important concept. And Ula's concept was that whenever you have an obligation of a mamon and malchus, so you pay the mamon, you are exempt from the malchus. That's the position of Ula. The Gemara is trying to figure out where does Ula learn that out from. So we have two possibilities. Possibility number one is chova b'chavero. You injure your friend, you're chayv, malchus, and mamon, but what? You only get the mamon, you're exempt from the malchus. And Edim Zumamin, you're chayv, mamon, and malchus, pay the mamon, exempt from the malchus. Now what we've pointed out already, as you've seen, is that each of these cases has their own unique chumras. Your own unique chumras. Therefore, again, it turns out that neither of them by themselves could go ahead and serve as the proof for Ula's statement. Therefore, what we're going to do is the following. Therefore, what we're going to do is let's run out from both of them together. And what's the common denominator between Edim Zomamin and Chavu B'Chavero? The Ika Mamana Malkus, that there is an obligation for money and for Malkus, and yet Mamona Mishalim, Milka Lo Lucky, that I have to pay the money and I don't get Malkus. Therefore, I've called Hecha the Ika Mamona Malkus, Mamona Mishalim, Milka Lo Lucky. So again, I'll say this is what's going to be called the Tzad HaShaveh. So Tzad HaShaveh means a common denominator. I find the common denominator between two halachas and that creates a paradigm. So the common denominator between these two ideas is that you're chayav for both mamon and malchus, but yet you only pay the mamon, you don't pay the malchus. So to any case where your act generates dual liability, you will only pay the money and you will not get the malchus. To which the Gemara says, Mala, why don't you say the following? Mala tana shava sheba and shekin yeshba mitzad chomer. Right? So I could say the following. I could say, you know what the tana shava, you know what the common denominator is? That they both have a unique and peculiar chumra. Ve'i mamona lekulahu. And if you want to say ultimately again, that if you look at Rashi, ve'i mamona lekulahu, kulahu, ashkechan bahen tzad hakal, v'dinhu shiyadunu b'kulu. Maybe you'll see, we'll give him the monetary obligation because in general, if you have two punishments, let's give him the more kal one, let's give him the more lenient one. I would say the following, shekein yesh bohem tzad hakel, because at the end of the day, again, at Lamaisa, each of them have an aspect of kula. Therefore, again, Ella, Malkus Chamer. But rather, what you have to say, no, I skipped. I knew that didn't make sense. Ella, I'm sorry. Ella Ula, I mean, I drank not that much. Right? Ella Ula, Tachas Gamer. So I will say, therefore, it turns out that we really can't use these cases of, Chovu B'Chaveiro and Edim Zomimin in order to go ahead and create the Tzad HaShava, the paradigm, for Malkus Misa issue over here. That's not going to work. Because each of them, again, have their own peculiar chumras, and interestingly enough, they also have their own peculiar kulas. Rather, where does Ula learn it out from? Ella Ula, tachas gamer. Rather, Ula learned it out from Gzeir Shava. What's Gzeir Shava? Ksiv hacha, tachas asher ina. Rabosa, it says over here, by the financial penalty for violating a woman, that you have to pay her, tachas asher ina. Literally under or because as a result that you afflicted her. Uksiv hasam, and it says over there, ayin tachas ayin. Ayin tachas ayin, which are both, remember, ayin tachas ayin, parashas mishpatim, is talking about the obligation one has for financially compensating someone whom I injured. So I tachasayin. So use the same notion of tachas. Just like over there, i.e., in ayin tachasayin, we know what does it mean? Financial compensation. I have to pay money, but I don't have to go. But I don't get malchus. Af kolhecha deika mamona malchus mamona mashali milka lalaki. So to Rabbi Yosef, in any case where there's a liability of mamon and malchus, so I get them. I have to pay the money, but I am exempt from the malchus. So the Gemara says, so we'll say now again, we're suggesting that it's not from Chavo Bechavero, it's not from Edim Zomimin, rather it is from where? It is from the Gzera Shava of Tachas, Tachas. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amra Filu Temach Osonara. So Rabbi Yochanan goes back and he says, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Afilu Tetema, Dahi de Makos Bachosanara, Okisha Hisrubo de Ika Mamana Makos, Vashmoinan de Laki Velomashalim, Umasnisin de Ksuvas Pishlo Hisrubo de Laka Makos. So we'll say, listen to this. So now Rabbi Yochanan's going back to the Mishnah in Makos, which the Gemara quoted on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. This was the case of a man who violates his sister or any of these other women, and he gets Malkus. So remember, again, we tried to resolve it a number of different ways. Rabbi Yochanan now is advancing another possible resolution. Afilu Timachosanara. Now, both remember, that Mishnah and Makos was problematic. Why? Because, correct, because it went ahead and it contradicted our Mishnah in Ksuvas. Because remember, our Mishnah in Ksuvas, the first Mishnah in this parak said, if you violate a woman, what happens? You have to pay. This Mishnah says you get Malkus. So remember again, I was saying, now we just spent this entire Amud saying, you don't get Misa and Malkus. Whenever there's Misa and Malkus, you pay. Right? Excuse me, not Misa and Malkus. Mammon and Malkus. Right? But whenever there's Mammon and Malkus, so you pay, you don't get Malkus. So now Rabbi Yochanan is coming along and advancing another resolution. Afilu Teimu Achos Anara. You could even say that the Mishnah over here is talking about Anara, but Kansha Hisrubo, Kanshalo Hisrubo. Oh, the Mishnah Ksuvis that says that Shechai for the penalty payment is when what? He received Hasra prior to violating the woman. And the Mishnah Malkus, where he only gets Malkus and not doesn't have to pay money, is where what? He didn't have Hasra. He didn't have forewarning. Alma Kasav Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Rabbi Yochanan holds, Kol Hecha De'ika Mamana Malkus Va'asru Be Milka Laki Mamana Lo Mashali. Therefore, again, what you see from here is that whenever there is, actually I said that... Yeah, so therefore you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that whenever there is a din of Mamana Malkus, if you get Hasra, then Milka Laki, you'll go ahead and you'll get Malkus. I'm sorry, I reversed it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah in Makos is where he got Hasra. The Mishnah in Ksuvis is where he didn't get Hasra. Therefore, you see over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that in a situation where there's an obligation from Mamana Malkus, if you got Hasra, you get Malkus. But in Mamana Lo Mashal, you don't get Malkus. Right? But if you didn't get Hasra, then that's where you would go in and pay the money. You wouldn't get Malkus. So now Rabbi Yochanan seems to be advancing now another Shita. And in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, what you have happening over here is he agrees that when there is Mamon and Malkus, you will only get one. But he draws, so Ula said, whenever there's Mamon and Malkus, you always get what? What? Always Mamon. Where he learns it out from, is it Tachas Tachas? Is it Chovah Bechavero? Is it Edim Zomin? Okay, so that's the whole discussion. But that's how he paskins. Rabbi Yochanan says differently. Rabbi Yochanan says, when there is Mamon and Malkus, so I agree, you only get one. I agree. So everybody's going to only get one. But it depends on what. See, unlike Ula, who just has a principle, that whenever there's a clash, you always get the Mamon, you don't get the Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan makes that dependent on your legal realities. If you got Hasra prior to the violation of the Avera, then what? Then you get the Malkus. If you didn't get Hasra beforehand, then there is the Mamon. You have to pay the money.
No, only one.
That's the thing. Everyone is agreeing in principle that you're going to get one punishment. The Shaila is what? So, Minalei the Rabbi Yochanan Ha, from where does Rabbi Yochanan go ahead and say, where does he know this from? So, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Kedei Rishaso, because the Pasuk says, you shall punish him in accordance with his evil. Mishum Risha'achos Atamachaivo. That the halacha is that the Torah says you have to punish a person in accordance with his evil. Kidei rish asos, his evil singular. So what do we learn from there? That a person could only be punished in one way. in one way. You can't punish a person two ways for the same act. That's very nice. So all that teaches me is that when I have an obligation on Mammon and Malkus, that's what? I'm only punished with one of them, but it doesn't help me with what? Which one? Oh, so look what Rabbi Yochanan says. And it says right next to that, Arbo'im Yakenu. It says right after that, that's what? He shall get 40 Malkus. So Rabbi say, there's the juxtaposition of this idea of Kidei Rishaso to the Pasuk dealing with Malkus, and that teaches us that whenever there is an act that generates two punishments, Mammon and Malkus, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I will get Malkus. Again, with the caveat of, correct, if you start with the muh, if you start with the mess, correct, if you just draw that out, I will give you the answer. That's an excellent strategy. So, but again, Rabbi Yochanan is introducing another piece, which is the Hasra piece. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. I have a harichova bechavero di'ika mamon amalkus, but yet there's the case of where I injure my friend, where there's an obligation. I guess he's not my friend, but I injure my friend, calls him chavero. There's a whole Torah about this, Rabbi Osai. Why the Gemara always refers to injuring someone as injuring my friend. All right, well, another time. So the Gemara says, v'harichova bechavero di'ika mamon amalkus. There's an obligation, as we said before, of both mamon and malkus. And what's that halacha? Mamona Meshalim Milkalolokin. Now we know in the case of Chovel Bechavero that I'm paying and I'm not getting Malkus. How do we know that? We know that because the Torah tells us that about the five different categories of damages. So I know that I'm paying. I know that I'm paying and I'm not going and giving him Malkus. So the Gemara says, V'chite. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. V'chite mahani milihecha delo asrube. Now maybe you'll say no. Even in Chovel Bechavero, Abosai, the only time I pay Chovel Bechavero is when? When? When there's no Hasra. However, but perhaps, again, we would say that in the case of where you got Hasra, even by Chol Bechavero, you would go out and you'd get Malkus and you would not pay. But that can't be true. But yet Rabbi Yochanan, he call hakar she'in b'shaver pruta. If I injure someone in a way that the injury is less than a pruta. Right, so meaning, you could fill in the blanks with this. You could have an injury that's so insignificant that it doesn't cause any kind of it might cause a little bit of pain, but it doesn't diminish the person's worth in any significant way. So what's that? Lach aloka. It's because they both say so. Because the damages are less than a shava pruta, therefore, remember, on a financial sense, anything less than a pruta is what considered to be negligible and insignificant. Therefore, in this case over here, because there is no payment, therefore I'll get malchus. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidamu, what's the case? Idlo asrube amai loka. So if you didn't get hasra, if you didn't get hasra, why would you get malchus? Ela pshita da asrube. Rather, it must be a case where what? Where there was hasra. V'taima de less b'shavapruta. And the only reason you're going to get malchus is because the injury was less than a shavapruta. Ha ispe shavapruta. But if there was a shavapruta, mamona meshali milkalolaki, you would go ahead and you would get malchus and you would not pay." It's Kash Rabbi Yochanan. It's Kash Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Because we will say again, Lamaisi is see over here that in this case, the only reason why you're paying is ultimately because there's no real financial claim here. But if there were to be a financial claim, it would be clear that what? That you would pay. You wouldn't get Malkus. Kash Rabbi Yochanan. To which the Gemara says, Kidam Rabbi Loi, Beperish Rub Satora. Adim Zomimin Latashlumin. So Rabbi Kuzrawa said this goes according to Rabbi Lai. So Rabbi Lai said that the Torah explicitly, and we'll see where it's explicit, Torah explicitly said that Adim Zomimin do not get Malkus, but instead they pay. Hachanami so to over here, Beferish Rib Satora, Chova Bechavero Latashlumin. So to over here, the Torah explicitly says that what? That when one injures his friend, there is a chiyuv of tashlumin. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that this may be the exception to the rule. This is the exception. So it's not a kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that chovah bechavero is unique. It's the outlier in that in case of chovah bechavero, you have to go ahead and pay. You don't get malchus. V'heicha itmad Rabbi Eloi. So what does this mean? Literally, where was the statement of Rabbi Eloi made? Aha, it was made in the following case. Me'idin anu esish ploni shechayv lechavero masayim zoz. We witnesses testify that Reuven is chayiv to pay Shimon 200 zoz. Finim to zomim, and then it turns out that they're zomim. What's that lacha? Lokin umeshalmin. They have to go ahead and we give them malchus. And they have to pay. Why? Because listen to this, Rabbi Meir says, because it's two different, lavim that bring them to this liability. Remember, they testified falsely, that's one lav. They testified falsely, that's one lav. And what? And what? And they're Edim Zomim, that's the second lav. And Rabbi Meir says, because they're two different lavim, therefore what? Therefore what? There are two distinct liabilities. However, Chacham say, no. Call them Mishalim Ein Aloka. Not true. Whoever pays money doesn't get Malkus. And once you know that there's reciprocal payment, so therefore, again, they don't get Malkus. V'neima kol aloki in the Mishalim. I don't say, why don't you just say just the opposite? Why don't you just go ahead and say that, okay, let's agree to the fact, meaning the Chachamim, what the Gemara is saying over here is Chachamim, what you're really saying is you only get one punishment. So instead of saying whoever pays doesn't get Malkus, why don't you reverse that, right? Why don't you say whoever gets Malkus doesn't pay? Meaning, let's just agree that there's only one punishment, because remember, the whole chap of Rabbi Meir is what? You're going to get two punishments. You're going to get Misa and Malkus and, help me out. Right, the Malkus and Mammon. Right, you're going to get the Malkus and Mammon. So why don't you just say you get one, but who's to say that the one is Mammon and not Malkus? To which the Gemara says, because Torah explicitly says that Edim Zomim in pay. Heichan Ribsa Torah, where does the Torah say this? Michti, Ksiv Vasisim Lo Kasha Zomim Lasos La'achiv. It says, you shall do to them, to the Edim Zomim, that which they conspired or which they sought to do to their brother. Yad Biyad Lamali. So why does it have to say Yad Biyad? So we'll say this is, Velo Sachos Inchon Nefe. This is talking about, again, if you know testimony about things that you're not permitted to withhold your testimony, to which the Gemara answers, you look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Yad biyad is somichle lo sachos einchon nefesh benefesh." You're not allowed to turn your eye. You can't turn your eye when you know something. So why do I need that yad biyad? Davar haniton miyad liyad. It's coming to teach us that when it comes to testimony, specifically Edim Zomimin, so the Edim Zomimin are judged with that which is handed from one hand to the other. What is handed from one hand to the other? Rabbi say, "Umay nihu mamon." It's money. It's money. Therefore, I will say, let's just finish this. Chovo bechavero. Chovo bechavero nami. So chovo bechavero, so to the same thing. So I must remember, so Rabbi Eloi is coming along and saying over here that that Edim Zomim and chovo bechavero are the outliers. That even if you want to subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan's idea, that when you have a liability for Mammon and for Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan's position is what? Is what? You get the Malkus. Even Rabbi Yochanan, if this is Hazra, or even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that there are two cases where it's always Mammon. Case number one is what? Is Edim Zomim. And case number two will be Chovo Bechavero. Because what I say Bechovo Bechavero? The Ksiv Kasher Asa Kenya Asalo. So the Pasuk says, that which he has done, so shall be done to him. Kain Yinasein Bo Lamali. So why do I need that phrase? It shall be given, so shall be given to him. Davar Shiyesh Bo Nesina. It means that when you injure someone, you have to give the injured party something that can be given. And ultimately, again, what is that thing that can be given? Umay nihu? Mammon. Money. All right, Tabose, so we'll stop over here for today. But just suffice it to say, so here's what we have. And it's actually a very interesting sugya. So we have a fundamental machlokes. Let's go with what everybody agrees with. Well, and now we see actually it's not everybody. But almost everybody agreed with the fact that if you commit an act that generates dual liability for Mammon and for Malkus, that you're only going to be chayiv for one of them. Machlokes Ula and Rabbi Yochanan about which one you'll be chayiv for. Ula says, when Mammon and Malkus you're chayiv for? Mammon. And again, he either learns that out again from Chovo Bechavero, Edim Zomim, although the Gemara at the end of the day seems to say we learned that out from the Gzeirah Shava of Tachas Tachas. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, no, you go ahead and you're only chayiv once, but I hold that you're chayiv for Malkus. Where does he get that from? The juxtaposition. Kedei Risha, so you only punish someone according to their evil. Evil singular. So you only get one punishment. But what's juxtaposed to that? Arba Im Yakenu, Malkus. Therefore, the one punishment that you get is going to be Malkus. However, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree, according to Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Eloi says that there are two explicit cases in the Torah where the Torah says, even though there's an obligation of Mammon and Malkus, that what? That you will only go ahead and get, you will only go ahead and get the Mammon, because the Torah explicitly said that. And those two cases are Chovo Bechavero, or I should say different order, Edim Zomim and Chovo Bechavero. But we'll stop over here for today. Yashar Koach.